Luke 12:37. Blessed are those whose servants whom the when he comes will find watching. Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the master when he comes will find watching. Luke 12:37. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 37:28. John 17:15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. John 17:15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. John 17:15. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. You also have this scripture in your insert today in your bulletin, so you have it before you there. Trust that you have Ephesians 5, 12, and 13. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Most of us are aware of the fact that we're here for the purpose of opening the Bible, studying the Word of God. We're also aware of the fact that we cannot properly study God's Word if our hearts are not properly related to the Lord. And for that reason, we spend a few moments at the beginning of the session for us to pray. And we just pray silently so that we can be sure that we are in fellowship with our Lord. The scripture says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which simply means that as a believer, we can spend a few moments in prayer. We can be sure that we are cleansed of sin. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't make us odd, strange, foolish. Just makes us normal. Gives us the opportunity to be capable then to properly receive the communication, dissemination, proclamation of the Word of God. We're privileged individuals because we have the opportunity to study these magnificent verses of Scripture. We studied in the first session, as you remember, the sin unto death. In this session, we're studying the subject of apostasy. And so we'll be getting into that subject in a few moments. Most of you are aware of the fact that as believers, we have the responsibility on a day-by-day basis to be under God's control, which is the Spirit of God, the Word of God. When we study God's Word, we have the thinking of Jesus Christ. And when we live each day, we are to utilize the thinking of our Lord and so that we can be victorious and triumphant, have a life of joy and peace and happiness. God desires for us to be very happy individuals, wants us to be triumphant, victorious on a day-by-day basis. In the first session, you'll remember that I made comment, and I want to make it before we have our prayer, and that is, whatever your age is right now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God desires that you and I realize that however long he plans for you and me to live, that's ample time. He will give us ample time to reach the mountain peak of what we call the echo zone, which simply means that if God allows you to live as long as he's allowed me to live, that's a good long while. And that means that I've had many years of training and many years of Bible study and even 70 years of preaching and more years than that of the fact that I've been a believer in Jesus Christ. And so these have been wonderful years for me. And I appreciate the fact that he's given me this time. And I trust he'll give me more time to continue my spiritual journey. Wherever you are, whatever your age is right now, You just think about yourself, think about your age, and remember that as a believer in Jesus Christ, however long the Lord lets you live from this point on, that's going to be ample time for you to be a successful mountain climbing spiritual believer, that you can reach the mountain peak of the echo zone. And I trust that most of you by now know what we mean by mountain peak of the echo zone. We'll see a little of that in our diagram today. May we pray together first. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity now to open our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. We're thankful that you've given us life. You've given us blessings. These are precious moments for us. We pray that we will utilize these moments to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. And then when we leave this place today, that we'll be able to take the information we're learning and make application of these wonderful truths. That we will find ourselves more triumphant, more victorious, more successful in our Christian experiences. We thank you for your love and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see Ephesians 5, 12, and 13. Let's look at these verses, please. The subject today will be darkness reveals satanic thinking. Let's pause for just a moment to think about that subject before we look at our verses. Darkness reveals satanic thinking. In life, you and I are going to have either God's thinking or satanic thinking. We're going to see from a divine vertical viewpoint, or we're going to see from a human horizontal viewpoint. Now, I want to be aware of the fact that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, must realize that darkness reveals in the Bible satanic thinking. You and I are perhaps already aware of the fact that if we think God's thoughts, which means we study God's Word, we memorize scriptures, we memorize spiritual subjects, doctrines, and we live our life on a day-by-day basis, and as we live our lives on a day-by-day basis, we face various difficulties and problems and successes in life, challenges in life. If we have God's Word saturating our souls, we're able to utilize those things we've learned and make application of those truths to the various challenges that we face in life. Many times there will be pressures. Many times there will be heartaches. There will be heartbreaks. There will be successes. There will be difficulties. There will be burdens. All kinds of things will happen to us in life as a believer. If we are able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint, we're able to take God's truth and apply those magnificent things we've learned to the situations we're facing in life. On the other hand, if we've not learned much, if we're not utilizing the truth of God's Word, then what we have is satanic thinking. We can only see things then from a human horizontal viewpoint rather than a vertical divine viewpoint. I trust you're hearing my words because I'm trying to state them slowly and deliberately and emphatically to let you see that we either think God's thoughts, vertical thoughts, divine thoughts, or we think human thoughts, horizontal thoughts, satanic thoughts. Now, what I need to tell you is something you perhaps already know, and that is you get divine thoughts from God and God's Word. You get Satan's thoughts or satanic thinking from, that's right, Satan's world, Satan's thinking. What we have to understand is that the Bible teaches us that there's no way for us to get rid of satanic thinking unless we get a different type of thinking. In other words, we have to have God's thoughts in order to get rid of satanic thinking. You can pray and say, Lord, please take away satanic thinking, and that prayer will not be answered, because you don't pray to get rid of thinking. You have to get a different type of thinking. Did you hear what I said? You folks visiting with me, did you hear what I said? You have to get a different type of thinking to get the right kind of thinking. Okay? In other words, if your thinking is wrong, how in the world are you going to get a right type of thinking until you get a right type of thinking? So you have to think the right thoughts in order to think the right thoughts and do the right things and manipulate yourself in life in the right way. So I can't pray and ask God to forgive me of satanic thinking. I've got to get with it and get a different type of thinking. And the only way I can have a right kind of thinking is to have God's thoughts. And the only way I'm going to be able to have God's thoughts is to find out what God says. And the only way I'm going to be able to find out what God says is to go to God's book. And God's book is the Bible. You folks just visiting us, do y'all understand what I'm saying? Look at that. Those folks are nodding their head. They're smart. Isn't that wonderful to have smart people visiting with us? Now, you folks, the rest of you, you're pretty smart, too. So did you nod your head also? Good. Joe, okay, good. We even have our instrumentalists nodding their head. That means that they're thinking also. What happened? Secretary, are we thinking okay? Okay, good. All right. Darkness is satanic thinking. And if we have a dark soul, it means that we've allowed satanic thinking to darken our souls. And we don't need that. We need light. Okay, so much for the preliminary sermon number one. Look at verse 12 of Ephesians 5. For hidden things, it is a shame even of those things to speak which are done of them in secret. I've already emphasized the fact that in the original language, the Greek language, verses are not always that smooth in translation. So I put this on the screen. I have here a transliteration. I have a translation, which is not a smooth translation. But I want you to be able to see that we start off with a Greek post-positive conjunctive particle, gar, G-A-R. You didn't know you were going to get a gar this morning, but you got it. There it is. For, and then it says, the hidden things, it's a shame, even of those things, to speak of those things, which are done of them in secret. Now, I could go into a long discussion there, but you could look at it in the insert of your bulletin. For hidden things, it's a shame to speak of those things which are done in secret. And then there's a list of things that are done in secret that are in our passage of Scripture. Then we go to verse 13. Notice, if you will, verse 11 and 13. But all things that are approved, we'll follow this along, but all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. The light, as we've studied this morning in reading these verses, the light is God's Word. When we're in harmony and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're inside of this magnificent sphere of love. We call it the divine power sphere, the divine love system. It means that we, as an individual born-again believer, are living inside of the plan of God for our lives. Temptation is on the outside over here. Temptation will come our way. The temptation itself is not the sin, but we, on the inside, in harmony, in fellowship with the Lord, properly related to Jesus Christ, see this temptation coming. When the temptation comes, Volition, choice, is the guardian of your soul. Now, let me tell you what I just said. You, as a born-again believer, have the ability to make decisions. We call it volition. We call it choice. We call it decision. You and I make decisions every day, a lot of decisions. We make a choice. We do things. In other words, we made a decision to walk into this auditorium today. It was a decision that we made. And then we acted upon that decision and we walked into this auditorium. It was a decision that we made. Each one of us, as born-again believers, we have an eternal soul. The eternal soul is that which comprehends and understands those things in the realm of the spiritual. Every unsaved individual has body and soul, but does not have the ability to understand spiritual things. So a person who is unsaved is body and soul, dichotomous, two, body and soul. Those of us who have been born into God's kingdom are trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. Now let me explain that just for a few moments. What happened to you when you were 6 years of age, 7 years of age, 10, 12, 14, I don't know when, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you did that, God moved into your life. It was the miracle of transformation. It was the miracle of salvation. And God took you as a dichotomous body and soul person and made you a trichotomous body, soul, and spirit person. Now, the unsaved person, body and soul, has the ability to comprehend, understand those things in the realm of the physical. But you and I, as born-again believers, have body, soul, and spirit. So the spirit is that which was given to us at the point of salvation that gives us the ability to comprehend and understand those things in the realm of the spiritual. Does that make sense? Amen. Now, what I want you to see is, you have been saved if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you trusted Him as your Savior, you're not now any longer a dichotomous person, body and soul. You're body, soul, and spirit. That spirit part of you, given to you at the point of salvation, gave you the ability to comprehend and understand and enjoy those things in the realm of the spiritual. That's the reason why we as believers have such a wonderful time studying God's truth. Because we can be in fellowship, in harmony with the Lord, and we can understand and appreciate these magnificent and beautiful things that God has for us. He's done for us in the past. He's doing for us now. He's planned for us in the future. You and I have X number of years left in our lives. We don't know how many. Whatever your age is right now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God has a number of years left, a number of days left, a number of weeks left, a number of months left. I don't know for you or for me how many. I do know that He knows. And since He knows, He's made plans, I believe, for you and me to have all the time that we need if we take advantage of it, to get to the mountain peak of the echo zone. When we get to the mountain peak of the echo zone, it means that we are then at a position that God is able to pour out and bless us with many fantastic, magnificent, wonderful blessings for life. Now, I want you to know that some of these things I didn't intend to say at the beginning, but it's okay. I just want you to see that it's magnificent to understand that we have X number of years left on the earth. The rapture could occur at any moment. I don't know. You may live another week or two. You may live another year or two. You may live another decade or two. You and I, we don't know how many weeks, months, or years we're going to live. That's all in God's hand. God knows what's best for us. And He has a plan for us. Here's this system again. Let me put it on the screen for you. My screen is invisible. Do you see it? Here it is, the love system. Outside here is the temptation. Here we are in harmony with the Lord. We're body, soul, and spirit. We're body. Body brought us in. The real you and me is not the body, even though we appreciate the body. The real you and me is soul and spirit. So we are here and temptation comes. We have to make a decision what we're going to do with that temptation. Do we accept the temptation? Whatever the temptation is, it may be a lascivious thought. It may be an ungodly word. I'm trying to just think quickly about some things. But there's a sin that's coming in. And I'm facing this. You're facing this. And I have to make a decision. The decision is the volition of my soul, and that's the guardian of my soul. Decision or volition is the guardian of your soul. If I say no to that temptation, then I'm able to move on in fellowship with the Lord. On the other hand, if that evil thought, that satanic thought, that lascivious thought, that bad word, whatever it is, temptation comes, and I say, I kind of like that. I'm going to accept that. And you accept that temptation, and you yield to it. Did you notice I said you yield to it? I didn't want to put myself there. I'm using you for an illustration, just for the fun of it, leaving me out for a moment. But you said, that sounds exciting. That sounds alluring. That sounds intriguing. I believe I'll accept that temptation. The very moment that you say yes to that temptation, you're knocked out of fellowship with the Lord, still saved, but you're not in fellowship now. And outside of in this state now, not in fellowship with the Lord, under the control of your sinful nature, you now have the ability to do two things. Listen to it carefully. One is you're immediately grieving the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when you get out of harmony, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieving is a sad word. Think about it. Grieving the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that brought about your salvation. It's the Holy Spirit that brings about your in fellowship with Him on a day-by-day basis. In fellowship. It's wonderful to be in fellowship. But think about how sad it is. Now, you've yielded that temptation and you're grieving the Holy Spirit. But immediately you realize, that's not right. I need to get back right with God. Oh, the scripture says in 1 John 1:9, if I confess that, He'll forgive me, He'll cleanse me, and I'll be right back in harmony with the Lord. That's 1 John 1:9. I do that, and my grieving ceases, and I'm back in harmony with the Lord. But let's just change the subject for a moment. Let's say that rather than me get back in the harmony with the Lord, I keep on disobeying God. And I continue to yield to that particular sin, or I begin what we call chain sinning. It's like eating one grape after another. I let that sin add to another sin, to another sin, to another sin. And in time, what I'm doing is, not only now am I grieving the Holy Spirit, I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. The Bible says quenching. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Are you all following me? Are you able to see what I'm saying? It's sad to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's sad to disobey God continually and then get to a point where we're quenching the Holy Spirit. That's what is known as apostasy. 10 minutes. Apostasy. Look at it. What's the definition of apostasy? It's some form of rejection of God's word. You may want to write this down. If you don't, please remember it. Apostasy means some form of rejection of God's message. All right. Look at number two here. Apostasy and carnality are different, just as spirituality and maturity are different. If you've been listening very carefully and attentively to what I've been saying, you're now going to be able to understand point two. Apostasy and carnality are different, just as spirituality and maturity are different. What I've been describing to you, when you're out of fellowship as a believer, you're carnal. You're not spiritual, but you're carnal. Notice now, apostasy is some form of rejection of God's message. Apostasy, number two, and carnality are different, just as spirituality and maturity are different. Most of us could easily see that if we stay with God's plan over a period of weeks and months and years, we will become more mature. We will pass through stages like babyhood and adolescence and youth and adulthood, young adulthood, senior adulthood, whatever, stages of spiritual advance. And so there's a difference between apostasy and carnality. Says the difference between spirituality and maturity. Number three, look at this one. An apostate is classified then as a non-perceptive believer, naturally out of tune and out of harmony with God and out of control of the Word of God. Number four, carnality then can be described as the state of an otherwise perceptive believer, but out of harmony and out of fellowship. That's carnality. But look at spirituality, number five. Spirituality is an absolute state whereby the Holy Spirit controls the soul of the believer. People have a hard time understanding what we mean by absolute. Absolute is not necessarily an emphasis upon minute after minute, week after week, day after day, month after month, so forth. In other words, when a person admits their faults and failures and sins, at that split moment, they're restored to a right relationship to Jesus Christ, and that is an absolute state. Do you understand what I'm just saying? When you admit your faults and failures and sins, at that moment, it's an absolute state. You're in harmony and fellowship. Does that mean you're going to always stay that way? Not necessarily. It'd be nice if you and I could just continue to stay in fellowship with the Lord and filled with the Spirit and controlled by the Word of God, but that doesn't happen. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is not something that is continuous. It is something that is spontaneous. And oftentimes we're in and oftentimes we're out. But we must determine in our lives to be more in than out. Does that make sense? God wants us to be determined that we're going to live our lives more in fellowship with Him than out of fellowship. But it is true that we, as believers, are not going to always be saved, yes, in harmony, not necessarily. Carnality is an absolute state, wherein a person is either harmony in fellowship with Christ or not. However, apostasy would be classified as a relative state, a spiritual failure of the believer due to the presence of evil in his or her life, a philosophy or policy, design and thought pattern of Satan specifically aimed at the soul of the individual. Let me see if I can go back and restate that. Apostasy is a relative state of spiritual failure of the believer due to the presence of evil in his or her life. Evil is satanic thinking. We mentioned it at the beginning of the message. Darkness, satanic thinking, evil. What you and I have the responsibility of doing is not being under the control of satanic thinking, but be under the control of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, on a day-by-day basis. The carnal believer is a believer who is desirous of God's Word, perceptive to God's message, but the apostate is the one who's rejecting and rebelling to the proclamation of God's truth. I must hasten. I told you 10 minutes. 9 minutes are up. The carnal believer can be restored immediately by means of 1 John 1:9. We started the service with that. The apostate, however, normally has such a saturation and pollution of evil in his or her soul that many times it takes a good long while to remove those deep scars. I give this illustration in closing. When I lived on the farm, I lived on a farm 3/4 of a mile from the highway on a dirt road. Now let me let you get the mental picture. When rains came, we had to get out on that dirt road with our car and try to make our way on that dirt road for those 3/4 of a mile to the highway. And it would be sippy and slimy and sliding. And oftentimes, as a little boy, I would sit in the back seat of the car. As my dad would drive, I would try to keep that car on the road from the back seat. We'd slide and I'd pull. We'd slide the other way and I'd pull. It didn't do a bit of good. Then the sun would come out, not particularly at that time, but later. The sun would come out, the road would dry, and our county maintainer, grader, would come in and grade that road and fill up those ruts. Now, before that would happen, if it rained and we had to go somewhere, my dad would drive out and we'd fall off in those ruts that previous cars and our car had made, and we would get in the ruts and we could just go right along in those ruts. Ruts were made. But if we waited a few days and the sun came out and it dried and the grader came and graded it all up, we had a smooth road. I've often thought about those ruts, and I've thought about your soul and my soul and the scars. What happens here is that you and I have scars. And the Spirit of God comes along when we admit our faults and failures and sins, and God's greater maintainer, it's not a county thing, it's God's thing. He comes in and grades and smooths things out. You have the mental picture again? Oh, but what happens? What happens is that we will find ourselves disobeying again, cutting those ruts. But I tell you what's important, and I'll close with this. You and I must realize that we all have ruts, and we must allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to clear up, grade those ruts, clean things off so that the pathway could be smooth again. God wants to do that in your life and mine. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you and I can be assured that He comes along if we allow Him and ask Him to clean up those ruts. And we can be in fellowship, in harmony, and be right with Him. How wonderful that is. Amen. May we pray together, please. Father, help us to realize how beautiful it is to be in harmony and in right relationship with Jesus Christ. We realize that we can choose to be apostate on the one hand, or we can be properly related to Jesus Christ on the other hand. For those who hear this message by way of the internet, by those who have yet never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to realize that when God loved, He loved the world. When Christ died, He died for everyone. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. We thank you over and over again for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.